Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last May, as I walked a little over 100 miles of the Camino de Santiago, I discovered that I'd run into a lot of the same people along the way. We were each walking for different reasons, at different times, different paces, and different distances, and yet somehow our paths seemed to cross again and again. Each person I met who was traveling the distance without the aid of a bus or a tour group, that was us, they all had one thing in common, though. Every time I saw them, their packs were a little bit lighter. Day after day on foot forces you to strip down to the essentials only. Jesus asks his followers to do the same. In our reading from Mark's gospel this morning, he makes it clear. His disciples are to go out and spread the news of this love, liberating, healing, wholeness, justice, journeying kingdom with the essentials only. And really, not even that. But why? Why does Jesus ask his disciples to leave everything behind? We read from Mark's gospel beginning in the 6th chapter. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And Jesus could do no deeds of power there, except he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then Jesus went out among the villages, teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them the authority over unclean spirits. Jesus ordered them to take nothing for their journey, except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and to not put on two tunics. Jesus said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus has just experience the vulnerability that comes with being in your hometown, among your own people. He's even had to come face to face with his own inability to be effective. To hear Jesus called the son of Mary isn't the kind of compliment you'd think it might be, given how amazing Mary was to say, "Yes, to God in such a huge way, what with carrying the very Son of God in her womb while she was engaged to another man. No, to be called the Son of Mary was an insult. It was a slur that called out Jesus for his questionable parentage. In the ancient Near Eastern world, a child would be referred to by their father's name. That's what was considered right and proper. In fact, this is the only time in the New Testament that Jesus is referred to by this name, the Son of Mary. Furthermore, Jesus' kinfolk take offense at what he has to say. According to the Greek here, they were scandalized by Jesus' anti-establishment renown. Where did he get these things, they say. You can almost hear some of the elders in the sanctuary, the synagogue. Maybe they're sitting close to the back. No offense to people sitting in the back. I know you don't whisper during the service, but just imagine them whispering to each other saying, well, he sure didn't get it from us. Now, Jesus shakes it off, but it's the last time in Mark's gospel that he sets foot in a synagogue. A bad experience of church can be painful. Perhaps it even leaves Jesus feeling a little raw and wounded. There's an even bigger dynamic at play here too. The dynamic of honor and shame. In the world of honor and shame that Jesus lived in, prophets would have received honor. But culturally speaking, honor was a zero-sum game. If someone gained it, that meant someone else lost it. To be recognized as a prophet in one's own hometown meant that the honor due to someone else was diminished. If one laid claim to a larger share of honor than was due to them by virtue of their birth and their upbringing, well, that threatened the others and would eventually lead to attempts to cut down to size the one who had, shall we say, gotten too big for their britches. And so Jesus turns his attention not to his past, but to the future. He continues to teach and to equip his disciples to do the same. He knows what's at stake. The Jesus movement must go on. So why then does he send his disciples out into this big old world full of its honor and shame with so little? Surely the minimalist movement hasn't yet come to the Galilee. Perhaps Jesus instructs the disciples to leave all their stuff behind so that they might be more cognizant of their own need for others, their own need to be reliant on God and the gifts that we receive from God, what God provides. Perhaps it was so they could become better at sharing those gifts with the world. In other words, Jesus is inviting his disciples into the same kind of vulnerability that he himself has just experienced. Brené Brown, a self-described researcher storyteller, has devoted her life's work to the dynamics we see play out in this chapter of Mark's gospel and of Jesus' life and ministry. Shame and vulnerability. I don't know if I can call her by her first name, Brené, but I am going to a training of hers in the fall as part of my sabbatical, and although we have been reminded numerous times in the sign-up process that she herself will not be there in person, I feel like maybe for the purpose of this sermon, we can be on a first-name basis. So Brené, her interest in two topics that are just so uncomfortable: shame, vulnerability, started with a desire to understand more about connection. After being a social worker for 10 years, she says, "You realize that connection is why we're here. It's what gives purpose and meaning to our lives. It's what it's all about. The ability to feel connected is neurobiologically how we're hardwired. It's why we're here." The only problem was, as Brené began her research on connection, she discovered that all she could get people to talk about were their experiences of feeling disconnected. What was that all about? Brené wondered. What that was all about, it turns out, is shame. Shame, she discovered, can be understood as the fear of disconnection. Is there something about me that if other people knew it or could see it, that I wouldn't be worthy of connection? The other thing she discovered, you're gonna like this one. Shame is universal. We all have it. And the less you talk about it, the more likely you have a lot of it. It's that feeling of I'm not good enough that underpins our shame. I'm not blank enough. You know this tape that plays in your head. I'm not thin enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm not attractive enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not promoted enough. The thing that underpinned all of this was excruciating vulnerability. This idea that in order for connection to happen, we have to allow ourselves to be seen. Really seen. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but do not put on two tunics. Go just as you are. Allow yourself to be seen, really seen, for who you are. Well, what if you're not welcomed for who you are or for what you have to say? Shake it off, Jesus says. Brené discovered through 6 years of research, through thousands of stories, hundreds of long interviews and focus groups, that there was only one variable that separated the people who have a strong sense of belonging and the people who really struggle for it. That variable? The people who have a strong sense of love and belonging believe they're worthy of love and belonging. That's it. That's all. They believe they're worthy. Jesus knew he had a story worth sharing. He understood that he had a vision worth catching. He believed that no matter how people responded to him or to his mission, that what he was saying and doing mattered. And he empowered his disciples to believe the same. Jesus knew that his message wasn't going to be for everyone. Not every person he or his disciples encountered would be able to hear their message, to understand it, to appreciate it. But Jesus didn't want his disciples to be afraid. Brené notes that the only thing that keeps us out of connection is our fear that we're not worthy of connection. Jesus knows that his followers are worthy of the hospitality they'll receive along the way. And if they're met with hostility instead, well, shake it off. When we take seriously the possibility that, yes, we are worthy. We are worthy of love and healing and wholeness and justice. We not only shake off shame, we find our voice. We find courage, which first came into the English language from the Latin word cor, meaning heart. The original definition of courage was to tell the story of who you are with your whole heart. We find courage to go out into the world just as we are, beloveds of God, and we share what we know of the coming kingdom. We embody the love and healing and wholeness and justice that we've claimed for ourselves as ones created in God's image, as ones worthy of connection. We risk being vulnerable so that others might see these very things in us. Jesus makes one more thing clear when he sends out those men and women who loved him. He makes it clear that they are not to go alone. How did they go out? Two by two, pairs. Because before Brené Brown turned the stories and science of connection and shame and vulnerability into 5 best-selling books, Jesus knew this to be true. We belong to each other. No matter what we are asked to leave behind for the sake of a more loving, whole, and just world, no one has to go alone.